Hey, it's Graham. Our past in-depth guests have shared so many inspirational stories about overcoming adversity and tackling the darkest and most challenging times in their lives. We're sharing one of those moments in today's Thursday podcast in the hope that it provides a blueprint for any difficulties you might be facing. This week, Misty Copeland.
Sports psychologist. What made you decide to go?
It got to a point where I started to have anxiety around performing, and I've just felt it was the smart thing to do to speak to a professional and to get tools to understanding how to deal with those things. And there has never been stage fright. It's always been a sense of comfort, like in this bubble where no one could touch me and I could just express myself through movement. But got to a point where, being put on this kind of trajectory to be the first and the pressures of this white ballet world that I felt never was going to accept me. It was like, no matter what I do on the stage, I'm not going to win everyone over. And that started to develop anxiety in me around my performances.
Some would probably think that as you've had more success, the criticism or the noise would maybe go away, you it got to you more, right?
Yeah, I think that it was like a combination of not only my success within the ballet community and the ballet world, but to go beyond it and to go outside of it, with endorsement deals, books, speaking engagements, the ballet world's not used to seeing that. And I'm doing all of this to benefit to bring more people to ballet, to diversify it. And that's how you do it. You have to go outside of the small, isolated bubble that the ballet world has existed in for forever.
What did you learn from talking
going,
to? Yeah.
It's important, I think, for me to check in like daily, especially before performances, and get a sense of, why I'm feeling anxious. I went through a period where, in the midst of preparing to do the 32 fuetes, which is one of the most difficult technical feats in the classical technique and repertoire, and in the middle of preparing for this, I'm thinking about what some critic is gonna write, and then completely losing my focus and not being able to physically accomplish what I needed to on the stage.
You wrote in your book, when you were younger and growing up, I think I was born worried. there wasn't a day I didn't feel some kind of anxiety. My panic would begin from the moment I woke up.
Yes.
How so?
Yeah, this fear of not knowing what was going to come day in and day out in my childhood. Whether it was my mom waking us up in the middle of the night and saying, like, we're leaving your dad, we're moving, and not knowing where we were going, not having a consistent place to stay, or knowing if we were gonna have food on the table. All of these things just created this severe anxiety inside of me. I would sometimes go to sleep with my school clothes on, with this fear that I wasn't gonna wake up and have enough time to get ready, or I'd need to be at school an hour early, and just I needed a sense of control.
And you would map the route out,
yeah,
right before a school year?
I would rehearse going to school. I would have my mom take me to school and walk from classroom to classroom to make sure I knew where all the classrooms were gonna be, how much time it was gonna take me to get from one place to the other. It was really just, this young, insecure girl looking for control in some way, because I didn't have any control over anything that was happening in my life. And it's like a scary feeling. I didn't really have anything that allowed me to find who I wanted to be until I started dancing.
How did a Lifetime movie impact you when you were 7?
My mother grew up dancing. She was a professional cheerleader for the Kansas City Chiefs football team. My sister was on the drill team at the middle school. So I had a connection to movement, but I didn't really understand what that looked like and what it was I was drawn to. But I was attracted to gymnastics. So whenever the Olympics, you know, would come on TV, I was watching floor exercises. And then this Lifetime movie came on about Nadia Comaneci, who was the first to score a perfect 10. And there was something about her story that was so incredible to me, to see these amazing ups and downs, but this connection that she always had to gymnastics. And but looking back, the floor exercises, the way they move, it was so similar to classical dance. Though I'd never seen classical dance, but I was drawn to that. And that just kind of like opened up my mind to what was possible.
I heard you sat for a week observing class before.
Yeah, it might have been more than that, but yeah.
Okay, before you first participated in it. Yeah. And then you're at the Boys and Girls Club, and you quit after your first class, or think about quitting.
Yeah, I had just gotten on the drill team. This was like the biggest thing I'd ever done in my life, to decide I wanted to be on this dance team where you were putting yourself out there in front of people performing. And then I not only auditioned for the drill team, I auditioned for the captain of the drill team and made it and was named captain. So I finally found something that was just enough outside of my comfort zone. So then when I was asked to take this free ballet class from the drill team coach, she thought I had a lot of potential. It was like, are you kidding me? Like, this is so far outside of my comfort zone. And the teacher, Cynthia Bradley at the time, you know, she just kept pushing me, you know, she's like, it's okay that you don't have the right attire. That was another thing too. It's like not fitting in, not having a leotard and tights and slippers and being on a basketball court. I was like, this just all feels wrong. So I sat in the bleachers for weeks, and every class, you know, Cynthia would come over and just say, like, just come down one more seat on the bleachers and like just get closer and closer. And it was scary. It took going to her ballet school, where she gave me a full scholarship. And once I was in the studio, was in the proper attire, was surrounded by other dancers, and I was looking in the mirror, and I felt beautiful, and I felt in control, that's when it all clicked and changed.
You wrote, for a little girl who lived in terror of making a mistake, of being embarrassed or criticized in front of others, that the stage was somehow an oasis.
Mm-hmm.
What made it that for you?
When you look out into the audience, you can't see anyone's faces. It's just a sea of like darkness, of black. But you feel the energy. And then, you know, the fact that no one could say anything to me. Like, you train and you have the coaches or ballet masters and mistresses that are saying stuff to you while you're dancing and yelling out things, or there's constant feedback, but when you get on stage, it all goes away. Mm-hmm. And you're responsible for yourself. And there's something so empowering about that, to be able to be responsible, be in control, and do something I loved. Being able to express myself through a non-verbal art form, it was the perfect fit for me.
That's it for now, but if you're hungry for more in-depth with Graham Bensinger interviews, head over to youtube.com/Graham Bensinger. You can dive into our deep library, which includes more than 2,000 clips spanning 12 plus years. Thanks again for listening.